Morning and welcome to Grace Lutheran Church. Today is the sixth Sunday after Epiphany, and we are happy that you are here with us in the house of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. We extend a special welcome to all of you who are visiting this morning. There is a registry as you exit the church this morning. If you'd like to leave some contact information, we would certainly like to get to know you more here at our congregation. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fifth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body go into hell." It was also said, "Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn.' But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Good morning. Before we get to the sermon, I always have a little commercial, as I am a traveling vagabond begging for support everywhere. You have in your bulletin what Synod affectionately calls a prayer card. I call it a bulletin insert. But on this is the side that I'm concerned about. This side, if the Lord moves you to support our work financially, that's great. But this is the side that I'm most concerned about. I ask that you might take this home and put it on your refrigerator or bathroom mirror or someplace like that. And when you see it, just ask the Lord to take care of my wife Paula and myself as we travel about the world. We are serving as missionaries to the region of Eurasia, based out of the Czech Republic. But I am called to serve as a communications director, and our region is huge. Greenland on the west, to the other end of Russia on the east, and down to the bottom of Yemen. 16 out of 24 time zones. And my work is primarily with media, to create radio broadcasts, podcasts, television content, video casts, new emerging medias with the internet and that sort of thing, to proclaim Jesus Christ and him crucified, God willing, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in 61 dialects. That means that if I do my job, we will be producing 2,500 programs a week, and I don't anticipate that happening while I'm still breathing, but we're getting started. We have wonderful work going on in Farsi, in German, and also some Finnish guys that are getting started. So we're getting the ball rolling, but we have a long way to go, and I'll tell you all about it next door. I'd be really happy to tell you about everything that's going on, and you can see slides and all sorts of stuff. While I'm doing that, I have a little side project where I'll be planting a church. So I've got a little bit of work ahead of me. So do come next door and find out about that. But please, keep us in your prayers. The work is huge, and there are so few of us to do it. Now, enough of the commercial. Does anyone here speak Czech? Good, then I can make stuff up and you'll never know. So we begin, Vyemeno otsi sine duka svateho, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pastor Schaff just sat down next to me after reading the gospel text, and he said, I'm glad you're preaching this one. It's a tough text, if you hadn't noticed. There's a lot of law here. But ultimately, what we see in it is God's love for us. And it's fitting that in this week of Valentine's Day, that we should consider that our relationship with God is very much a matter of the heart. Now, it's not a romantic kind of thing that we're talking about, a matter of the heart here. But we see that the heart is what God is really concerned about. Jesus is speaking to a people who felt that a right relationship with God was a matter of rules and outward behaviors. You see, if we just do these certain things over here, then God will love us and everything is well in the world. The problem is, you can do all the right things, but if you hate each other and live for yourself, you're also hating God. And even though you might do things that are outwardly righteous, you are not in a right relationship with God. Christ demands pure hearts. Consider that. Pure hearts. What does that mean to have a pure heart? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is addressing a culture based on its view of righteousness in the outward actions, outwardly pure, but inwardly full of death and decay. Seemingly expanding the law, you see, the scribes and the Pharisees thought that they could divvy up the law into little doable things. We like to do that too. But if you remember from last week, Jesus says that your righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees. Now, these are the most righteous guys you could ever meet. They made a big show of how righteous they were, how they kept the law, and not just keeping the law, but keeping more than the law. They added to the law more laws. But they misunderstood the core of what's going on. Jesus says, the heart is where the commandments are kept. The fifth commandment, you shall not murder. The Pharisees reduced this commandment to the obvious law that they could keep quite nicely. As long as you don't strangle your neighbor or hit him with rocks, you're okay. Most of us are pretty good about not doing that. Hopefully all of us are. So you're okay, according to them. Do we become angry? Are we easily insulted, or do we easily insult others? Jesus clamps down on us this morning. If we're angry for a good reason or not, we are murderers. Consider that. We are often wronged in this world. People assume the worst of us all the time, and it makes us angry. How dare you talk like that about me? I never did this to you. And we act as though we're so righteous. But consider how what you have done nailed your Savior to the cross. Consider how your sins have caused the one who alone is without sin to suffer the indignities of your sin. Sometimes the school of life charges some pretty high tuition. Be careful not to judge others too harshly, lest you pay a greater price in a hard-learned lesson. Jesus warns us. He says, "But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are with him, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put to prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny." I don't know about you, but I feel like Jesus is peeling back some layers of my heart today. He's peeling back some skin with these words, "You will be judged." The sixth commandment, "You shall not commit adultery." Jewish society in Jesus' day was pretty lax on marriage and divorce. I'd say ours is also. But Jesus says of the sixth commandment, it's not just a matter of your outward works. It's not extramarital sex and outward things that Jesus is talking about, but also a matter of the heart. He says, everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent, and I think we could say, ladies, also anyone who looks at a man with lustful intent, has already committed adultery with her or him in his heart or her heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. It's not just affairs, but it's affairs of the heart. Wandering eyes. Divorce, just because we aren't getting along. Irreconcilable differences we hear about. These are just as sinful as open acts of adultery. It's example after example of our unlovingness toward our spouse in our heart. Irreconcilable differences don't really exist. We think that they do. People are divorced all the time. Irreconcilable differences. But when two sinners who know who they are in Christ come together and who know how much they have been forgiven, God willing, they are willing to forgive as well. Irreconcilable differences. What if God said to you, "I'm sorry, we have irreconcilable differences"? The eighth commandment, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." The Pharisees had developed an elaborate code determining oaths and so forth, and very easy to keep. You know, you just don't swear by Yahweh. As a matter of fact, it's best if you don't even say Yahweh, because if you don't say Yahweh, then you can't take God's name in vain. But we know that God has given us his name to call on for prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. Have you ever considered that by not using God's name rightly, you're using it wrongly? You are a people who have had God's name given to you. Their purpose was to allow outward appearances, judge them while in their hearts they lie. Any lie is sinful, whether it's given the pretense of an oath or not. Taking an oath can't make a deceiving heart pure. We must be more righteous than just an outward keeping of the law like the scribes and the Pharisees. True righteousness is a matter of the heart. True righteousness is in the heart. When the heart is pure, it will never produce selfish anger, insults, grudges, lust, divorce, lies. It will never do any of these things. How well do we do this? Are you feeling lost? Are you feeling as though now you're feeling really lousy because you know your own heart and you can't do these things? It doesn't seem fair. We can't keep from killing or having affairs. We can't control all those sins that pop into our minds and out of our hearts. They just ooze from us. The heart always slips. It generates selfish thoughts. It lets our tempers snap, our words slip out. I have the curse of being an extrovert. What that means is I speak first and then I think. I find a lot of comfort with Peter. He has that same problem. Lord, it's good that we're here. Let's set up some tents. It's hard to be responsible for everything, but we are. Jesus says that we are responsible. He says, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away, for it's better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away, for it's better that you lose one of your members than your whole body to go into hell. Jesus isn't saying that you should maim yourself, but he's saying stop making excuses. It's not our eyes or hands that make us sin. It's the heart that causes us to sin. To be righteous, the heart needs to be given life and it needs to be repaired. Even the smallest sin proves our hearts aren't pure, and Jesus demands a pure heart. But Christ gives us pure hearts. The very blood of Christ courses through your veins now. The physical heart is possibly the most valuable organ in your body. It provides blood to your whole body, to your brain. It does all of these things to keep you alive. The blood of Christ flowing through the spiritual heart gives you life, and it makes you righteous. That blood that was shed on the cross, it's the very same blood that we receive in Holy Communion. Christ's blood gives us righteousness that exceeds that of the Pharisees and the scribes. Sins, big outward ones and little small sins that we hide away in our heart, these sins are all washed away through the waters of holy baptism. Jesus' blood is paid for every murderous thought, every harsh word, every lingering look, every affair, every divorce, every perjury, every broken promise. Through our hearts, God comes and brings life. And though they are corrupt, God bespeaks them to be righteous. And he declares you to be pure. Our sins are forgiven. Christ's blood gets our hearts pumping. It makes us alive when we were dead. It gives eternal life. Now Christ sends the Holy Spirit to transform our dead hearts. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, praise King David. Here's a guy who knew a little bit about sinfulness. Killed a man because he liked his wife and then took the wife as his own. We probably wouldn't want someone like that to actually be writing books of the Bible, would we? When we believe in Christ and who he is and who he is for you, a radical change occurs. The Holy Spirit creates a new heart and a new spirit within us. The new heart really is righteous and pure, even though it lives alongside that old death and decaying heart. The Holy Spirit lives in us, and our hearts constantly commune with him. As we come to the house of the Lord, where the word is proclaimed into our hearts, and the sacraments are given to sustain our hearts, and so our whole being also. The sinful nature continues to sin, but the new heart loves. The new heart looks to your neighbor with compassion and says, Lord, have mercy. The new heart honors the spouse. The new heart treats others with honesty and integrity, and righteousness comes from the new heart in Christ. Everything that the new heart produces is in faith from Christ for you. This is the one pure motivation. The motivation that makes the simplest act more righteous than all of the external good deeds that you have ever done. And so you are indeed more righteous than the scribes and the Pharisees. You see, our righteousness before God is a matter of the heart. And his blood and his spirit has resolved all of these matters for you and in you. Through the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, through the piercing of his heart, through the piercing of his hands and his feet, his lifeblood is exchanged for your death. At the Lord's table, we are bodied and blooded together in Christ, and so we are bodied and blooded together in Christ with God. We partake of his gift, a mercy, salvation and grace for sinners. You see, this is kind of the odd thing. Those who eat and drink rightly at the Lord's table are those who come with a broken and contrite heart, confessing, I am not worthy to be at the table of the Lord. But those scribes and Pharisees who come by divine right with an upright head, saying, I am a good person, these are they who drink and eat judgment upon themselves. Today, let us come together at the Lord's table. Let us rejoice that he forgives sinners. And we certainly are those who need that forgiveness. Our Lord Jesus Christ's heart is now your heart. Rejoice. For he has redeemed you in body, soul, and heart. In the name of Jesus, amen.